This is Stacking the Box with NFL insider Matt Bertaram and Mark Carman. We have reached the month of November. Congratulations to you. Congratulations to me. The election's on Tuesday. That's crazy. And our football season is rapidly cascading to the second half of the year. Matt Bertaram, good to see you. Good to hear you. For Justin Podcast Land, the Pittsburgh Steelers are 7-0. They got by the Ravens 28-24, and it's a real conversation now in Baltimore. And you've been teeing this up for a long time, by the way, that they just might have a quarterback problem with the Ravens. I mean, Lamar Jackson, 13-28, couple of interceptions, and he's just had trouble throwing the football for a while. And today it really cost the Ravens a ball game.
So I am leading Stack in the Box, the written version, on Monday morning over on fanside.com with this about both quarterbacks, which we'll touch on here in a second. But for Jackson, it's not enough. They're not going to beat good teams with him throwing the ball the way he threw the ball today. And by the way, he also lost two fumbles in the red zone. Like, these are killer mistakes. You cannot do this. The Ravens dominated this game. Dominated it. They outgained the Steelers 457 to 221. Had the ball for 35 and a half minutes. Had 25 first downs. They went 8 of 15 on third down. The Steelers went 3 of 9. They lost the game because Lamar Jackson had four turnovers. And at some point, not that turnovers have been a huge problem for him, because they haven't, to be fair. This is by far probably the worst game he's ever had. In fact, it is the worst game he's ever had in that department. But he's not winning on the outside enough. They are not doing it. And I thought the penultimate drive of the game for Baltimore, second last offensive drive, was very emblematic of their struggle. So they drove the ball all the way down the field, down 28-24, with that. The drive started like 7 and change to go, and it went under the 2-minute warning. And they didn't throw the ball one time, which was fine because they were running at will, but they get down in the red zone. It's 4th and 3, and they called a running play because they just have no faith in either him throwing the ball or their receivers getting open. Well, you've had a million opportunities to address these receivers and have it. So I'm assuming that you feel okay about your receivers. You don't feel good about him throwing the football. And then they get the ball back because he ends up fumbling on the play and the Steelers recovered. It would have been a turnover on downs anyway. Then they end up getting the ball back. No timeouts, about a minute to go, 60 yards to go. And Jackson is just throwing like underneath routes. And time runs out, essentially. I mean, they did have one throw to the end zone. It got broken up. But I just look at Baltimore and say they have to play such a specific way to beat teams that are really good. And if it doesn't go that way, they can't do it. And today I thought was very symbolic of that. Jackson just could not beat them throwing the ball, and he made too many mistakes.
Well, and we also have some unhappy Baltimore Ravens. I mean, Marquise Brown is tweeting out, What's the point of having soldiers when you never use them? And then he puts it in parentheses, never, !! And, okay, he did not talk to the media after the game using his platform. He had one catch for the 3-yard touchdown in the fourth quarter. you know, you got some unhappy people over there, which is not great for any team, let alone a Super Bowl contender. You didn't think this – I mean, I didn't see this coming for the Ravens, but that's where they're at.
I'm not shocked that they're where they are as a team. I picked Pittsburgh to win the division. Now, I think Baltimore is very good, but Baltimore is limited in the way they can play offensively. And look, I don't also want to get too far outside the box of what happened in this game. Baltimore ran for 265 yards. They outplayed Pittsburgh, but they lost because of the pick six to start the game. They lost because of some of the other mistakes Jackson made. That all said, I'm looking big picture. Right, if you want to just talk about this game comes down to Jackson's 4 turnovers. But big picture, the Ravens have to be able to throw the football. Signing Dez Bryant to their practice squad is not curing these ills. They need to be able to win multiple ways. And right now, it's one way. Run the ball like crazy, blitz like hell, and hope it works. Because if it doesn't work, it's not going to get done. And look, to be fair, it has worked quite a bit the last couple of years. But when they have played really good teams and good defenses, they have not won far more often than not. Now they're going to get a shot at Pittsburgh in a couple weeks again. They play them on Thanksgiving night in Heinz Field. So they're going to see him in what? 3 weeks, 4 weeks? Like, they're going to see him again. And they're going to have to win because right now, as you mentioned, Pittsburgh's 7-0. Their schedule is very easy. Baltimore is 5-2. Their schedule, easy but a little tougher. Baltimore has to beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh or this division is over.
I mean, they're two games behind the Steelers. So, yes, that is obviously true. And they're going to have to get some help even in addition to that.
Yes.
One stat that just jumps out to me, this was CBS had this one. The Ravens became the first team since at least 1950 to both outrush an opponent by 200-plus yards, 200-plus yards.
Yeah.
And by the way, outpass them, to your point about Ben Roethlisberger. They actually did outpass them, and they lost. Roethlisberger threw for 182 yards. Jackson threw for 208. By the way, Pittsburgh didn't exactly, you know, I mean, they outgained him by 200 yards on the ground, 48 yards rushing. Yes. How the hell do you lose this football game?
The turnovers. Turnovers.
Yeah, I get
that's
it.
That's it, right? I know. I get it was somewhat of a rhetorical question, but that's why. You know, and listen, this brings me to my last point on this game. And I wrote about this as well in Sack in the Box. I hope people will read. Right now, the Steelers are 7-0. They have the best record in the NFL. If Roethlisberger doesn't play better, it doesn't matter. Because they are not getting through and winning the Super Bowl with him playing the way he's playing. They're not. He's averaging 6.6 yards an attempt. That is 29th among qualified passers in the NFL. It's not anywhere near good enough. And when you watch the Steelers, they're very good defensively. In fact, I think in some ways great defensively. Their running game is okay. It's not great, but it's not going to kill them. Pretty good line. Weapons are good. Problem is, Roethlisberger can't throw the ball more than about 5 yards in the air without having to just rainbow it and get somebody wide open. It's not enough. And it wasn't going to be anywhere near enough today if Jackson doesn't turn the ball over the way he does. It's not even close. Like, at some point, Pittsburgh, now look, if you look at Pittsburgh from 30,000 feet, you say, well, 7-0. If you look at them from about 5,000 feet, you see they need a fourth quarter to come back to beat the Texans at home. Jeff Driscoll almost came back and beat them in a two-score deficit in the fourth quarter at Pittsburgh earlier this year. If Gostkowski doesn't miss a field goal, that game against Tennessee goes to overtime, then maybe they win, maybe they lose, but they blow a 20-point lead that they had in the middle of the third quarter because Roethlisberger can't stop throwing picks and the defense can't get off the field. This game, they win because of a million turnovers. That none of that should suggest that Pittsburgh's not really good. Pittsburgh is very good. But are they 7-0 good? No, they're probably not. They're probably more like 5-2-ish good, which is excellent, by the way. But the warts are real, and the biggest wart is Roethlisberger. Because I can tell you right now in the playoffs, some team is going to say, you are not beating us, throwing the ball short. We don't care. Beat us deep. And he's not going to be able to do it. He has shown no ability to do so. So to me right now, these are two teams that are contenders. But the biggest problem is under center.
Right, but you still have Pittsburgh, at least you have on the rundown here, which Matt Verham does every week, MVP, yep. Stack in the Box. You wrote Pittsburgh is the favorite for the number one seed.
They are. They are because their schedule's a joke. They're okay. Hard games. These are the hard games the rest of the year that they have. They're home to Baltimore. Could lose, but home. Home to the Colts. You're going to be favored in that game. At Cleveland, they just beat Cleveland 38-7. The Bengals twice. To be fair, and we'll talk about the Bengals a little bit, the Bengals have been plucky in every game this year save for the one game against Baltimore. But they're going to be expected to handle both those games. They have Dallas left. They have Washington left. They do play the Bills at Buffalo on a Sunday night, but I think they're better than Buffalo. Like, so I do think the Steelers are going to probably win 14, 15 games. It's just, they don't play anybody. They play Jacksonville. They're terrible. Like,
it just feels like a really crazy year to me. And we always talk about NFL week to week. I mean, if we just look at today, here comes Minnesota. Nobody had the Vikings winning today, and not only do they win, I mean, Green Bay made it interesting at the end, but they control the game basically the whole way in Lambeau, by the way. No fans, right? But so, I mean, just crazy stuff is happening. Even in games that don't matter, like the Broncos and the Chargers today was just straight bananas. I don't know. This just feels like a very different year outside of the fact that like things like the Chiefs absolutely crushing the Jets, which did I lose on the Jets? Yeah, I did, didn't I?
You thought the Jets would cover.
No, what an idiotic prediction that was by me. Did I get any of them right? I think I might have gotten something right.
I have to go back and look.
I think I picked Seattle over the Niners. But all right, let's take a look at the Seahawks and the Chiefs. By the way, Russell Wilson today, 261, four touchdowns. Mahomes, 416, five touchdowns. And Aaron Rodgers losing to the Lions and didn't look all that great. So we're down to a two-person MVP race, right? I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, I think it is right now. Look, Wilson, four touchdowns today, 261 yards passing. He's up to 26 touchdowns on the year. I don't know how you could say he's not the favorite at the moment. He has to be. I feel like he's been the favorite the entirety of the season. He's been on fire all year long. Last week, he had the three picks. But really, other than that, finding a game he hasn't played exceptionally well in. They've already had their bye. He's thrown for over 2,000 yards. I mean, he's on pace, essentially, and I'm doing this roughly, but he's on pace for about 4,600 yards and over, you know, 50, I believe he's on pace, 55 touchdowns. And then you've got Mahomes, who had five touchdowns and 416 yards against the Jets. Now Mahomes is on pace for 4,600 yards, 42 touchdowns and two picks. So it feels like whoever plays better the second half of the year is going to happen. I mean, it's a close race. I'd say that Wilson is the favorite. But, yeah, I mean, Mahomes also, they play one of the easiest schedules in football. Like, there's definitely a scenario where the last eight games of the year, Mahomes throws 25, 30 touchdowns. He's perfectly capable of it.
Yep, there's no doubt. And to me, you know, Russ is just – I'm just so impressed with the guy, period. I watched his podcast this week. He's hosting an hour-and-a-half podcast with DraftKings, and he's interviewing – who they have on there. Joe Montana was on there, who I got to talk to this week, and he's doing this great job interviewing Montana. And then I'm watching Pete Carroll, the pregame today, Jimmy Johnson's interviewing him. And they're like, you know, hey, Pete, you know, you used to always win with your defense, and now the Seahawks have no defense, and you're winning games. So he's like, hey, man, you gotta play with what you got. And I'm like, that's a great coach, you know? You have no D? You lean on Russ, and then he's commenting on Russ, and like, this guy, every single day, he's just going about his business the right way. From the moment he walked in there, however many years it is now, to today, he's just always doing his business the right way. Guy, I have a lot of respect for the dude.
No,
I think we all do, obviously.
He's been great, and I totally agree with everything you said. And you know what? It just goes to show, though, why, and we talked about this on the podcast, because I know I'm big on this stuff. Everybody gets so into, oh, this guy started out the season with a good 2 weeks. It's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, talk to me about the guys who have staying power. Russell Wilson clearly has staying power, right? And has for a long time. Mahomes has staying power. You look at Josh Allen, who the first month of the year was great. Like, he's fallen off a proverbial cliff the last month of the season. Now, he's still been better than what he was. Well, like today, 11 of 18, 154 and a pick. Okay. Like Aaron Rodgers, who's great, first ballot Hall of Famer, but he hasn't been able to sustain, which isn't totally shocking considering it's Devontae Adams and nobody else. You know, we all talk about Ryan Tannehill, who certainly is a good quarterback. Ryan Tannehill today against the Bengals, 18 of 30 for 233, two touchdowns, a pick. Yeah, it's okay. It's fine. Like, some guys are just built to last for the, you know, for the duration in these types of races. Rodgers, I think I would put in the category that he is, although I just don't think he has the support around him. But Wilson and Mahomes, I don't expect anybody to turn that into a three-horse race anytime soon. It looks like those two guys are pretty much off and running.
Rodgers, for the record today, was 27 of 41. I mean, it ain't a bad day. Threw three touchdowns, wasn't picked. I mean.
Right.
It
wasn't a bad day. The problem is they're not as good as those other two teams, and he's not putting up quite the numbers that those guys are, and so that combination is going to make it tough for him.
Dalvin Cook was unbelievable today. It was fun to watch him. He 30 carries for 163, and just some sweet moves. Kirk didn't have to do all that much. His numbers look a little bit better than they actually are. But all right, let's move along to, well,
let's stay right in the NFC North.
Let's stay right in the North. So obviously I watched the entire Bears game from start to finish, and they lost at home. The Packers lost at home. Green Bay scuffling. I'll let you go first here. How do you see this whole NFC North playing out?
I'm going to hopefully, I think, take up for you here, as I know what you're thinking, having worked with you all these years. Look, the Bears just have to get a quarterback. I don't care what they do. I don't care how they do it. I don't care what it takes. Like, the Jags are reportedly benching Minshew and making him inactive now so they can get a look at Mike Glennon, which is just malpractice. I mean, I cannot believe Jacksonville sitting this guy to play Mike effing Glennon. But in any event, they are. Fitzpatrick's been put on the bench. I don't care what Ryan Pace has to do. I don't care. Like, that defense is a top five defense in the NFL. And you have to at least show that locker room you're trying. Trubisky sucks. He's not the answer. Foles sucks as much as Trubisky does. Like, you have to – here. Look, I'll say this, okay? You have to do one of two things. You either have to move heaven and earth to go get a quarterback who's at least an upgrade over those two, and Fitzpatrick and Minshew certainly would qualify. Or you have to go downstairs and tell Matt Nagy he's done calling plays. Because you either think it's Nagy or it's these quarterbacks. Now, I am firmly in the camp that the quarterbacks stink. But if you're not going to go get a quarterback, then you have to say, you know what? Bill Lazor's calling the plays. Give him the sheet. You be you. Give him the damn sheet. And if he's not going to do that, then I don't know what we're doing here. The Bears are just wasting this defense.
Well, look, I don't disagree with anything you're saying, but you are bearing at least some part of the lead. The Bears' offensive line is straight shambles. So Bobby Massey gets hurt today. That's your right tackle, who wasn't very good, by the way.
He's not. No, he's terrible.
But now you have somebody who's worse than Bobby Massey out there. Cody Whitehair, who has been durable as hell at center, he didn't play today. Missed his first game of his career, calf injury. The whole damn thing, and then James Daniel is out for the year with a torn pec. So you're missing three guys on a line that already sucked. So, I mean, Foles has, when he was good, it was when he was protected heavily. He needs the best of it, and he's not getting it in Chicago. Trubisky's the same thing. It is hard to play quarterback when you have absolutely no time. That being said, sitting here watching Nick Foles week in and week out, he's obviously not the answer, and he makes some glaring decisions that are just like, oh, my God. And today was just back foot. I mean, it was brutal. David Montgomery, who's running the football, like, God bless him. The guy's a saint. I mean, he can barely even breathe, let alone find a hole. So, I mean, they're in trouble. The Bears are just in deep, deep trouble. They got to get healthy on the offensive line. They do have more playmakers, though, than they've had. And they had some terrible drops in overtime. If Jimmy Graham catches a five-yard nothing pass that he's got to catch, he drops it. Anthony Miller, same thing. Two huge drops in the one time they had the football. They almost snuck out of here with a win. And by the way, I'll say another thing. The Bears' kicking situation since the double doink with Cody Parkey has been a nightmare. Cairo Santos is all of a sudden money man.
He's not a bad kicker. He wasn't in Kansas City.
I mean, he banged a 51-yarder to send in an overtime today against the wind. It was damn impressive. But, you know, if you want to be optimistic, if you're a Bears fan, that the division is still wide open. You still got to play Green Bay two times, but they have to get healthy up front. And, I mean, Aikman's on the broadcast, you know, calling for Trubisky because you're under so much duress that maybe you need a mobile quarterback, which I actually, shockingly, I'm going to say is on the table, because if you can't protect, then you can't have a statue back there. Nick Foles is a statue.
That's all fair. I think the Packers right now are the better team in the NFC North. But I got to tell you.
So do I.
I do, for no other reason, because Rodgers. Rodgers is just so much better at quarterback than the Bears are trotting out there.
It's not close. Green Bay's a better team.
But I'll tell you what, though, Carm. I will say this. And I have kind of come more to the middle on this in this argument. The Packers are better, But the Bears defense is approaching levels that it played at 2 years ago. And like, if you're that good defensively, you have, they had no business being the Saints today. Zero. And they were in overtime with them because the defense just throws up a brick wall over and over and over and over and over, which is why I keep saying, look, I don't care what Ryan Pace has to do. I don't care. Call the Saints. What's it going to take for Jameis? Call, like, I don't, anything is better than this. I don't know how you watch them. Like, I was watching that Bears game today. I could care less who won. I wanted to rip my eyes out of my skull watching them try to throw the ball. It's brutal. Nobody on the, even when he gets protection, he's hideous. Like, it's so bad. If I'm Pace, Minshew, Winston, God, give me, I don't care.
They won't
Cam
do
Newton.
It. They're not
going
to do
it. What is Cam Newton going to take?
They're not going to do it. I'm telling you, they won't do it. I mean, I don't disagree, but they won't do it. The other thing about the defense, Khalil Mack is battling an ankle injury. He sucked today. And the Bears scheme, which I don't know what you're doing, Chuck Pagano, but they kept on dropping Mack into coverage at times. He is paid to rush the quarterback.
You got
to
go after him.
That's what he does. And he's got a bad ankle, and you're putting him in coverage. He looks like a fish out of water, and he can't run. Like, it was just bizarre. All right, let's move along. Into the future we go. Should we be worried about the Tennessee Titans, where we're starting? Now, you already mentioned the numbers. Yes. It was not a good day at all for Ryan Tannehill. And you know, you mentioned, again, Cincinnati. I think I picked the Bengals in our upset thing. 31-20, Cincinnati wins today. You know, it was not the day you were looking for Tennessee, but maybe you just don't overreact. What's your reaction to the Titans loss to Cincy?
I'd like to think I'm properly reacting. I don't think Tennessee's necessarily like in trouble, although it's a horrible loss. Cincinnati, to their credit, as I said earlier, Burrow can play, and they are plucky. They're in every game. They also were without three of their starting offensive linemen on a team that can't block at all and didn't have Joe Mixon, and you gave up 31 points. Like, that's a problem, okay? You know what else is a problem? That they're giving up more than 60% of third downs, Tennessee is. And in the last 2 weeks against Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, those two teams already combined 23 of 33 on third down against Tennessee. You have no shot if you do that. So, offensively, like, I'm not concerned. Like, Henry had a good game, 112 yards rushing. They ran for over 218 yards. Corey Davis had a big game. I'm very worried about him defensively. They can't get off the field. They can't stop anybody. And you look earlier in the year, I mean, they beat the Vikings by a point, 31-30. They beat Jacksonville, 36-33. Like, these are teams that are bad teams. These are bad, bad teams. And they're barely beating them. I think the Titans are a playoff team, but now all of a sudden you lose this game. Indianapolis spanks Detroit. You're both 5-2. They play each other twice. You mentioned earlier, too, Tennessee, that schedule's not easy. They play Baltimore. They play Indy twice. They play at Green Bay week 16 on Sunday Night Football. Like, there are some hard games in there. They barely beat Houston. They gave up 36 points when they see them in Houston. I don't know if they lose to them, but that's at least an interesting game. So I think the Titans are a playoff team. But, yeah, I am concerned about the defense. It can't stop anyone.
And Indy, let's give them credit. The Colts are good, man. They're not overpowering, but they're certainly right on the level with the Titans. I mean, to me, that division is a total – that's a complete coin flip. So I'm with you. I think they're a playoff team. Gets colder, that offense is going to play. Derrick Henry's going to play. And maybe Phillip Rivers doesn't play as well, certainly not on the road as well. I mean, the dome will make him all he'll be comfortable there. But they had a chance here to get themselves a win against Cincinnati. They didn't do it. Indy did beat the Bengals. So there's that. All right. What about the Patriots? They were right there. Buffalo had a great chance to be the Bills against them, but they came through. Cam with a big fumble. What do they do? The trade deadline is Tuesday. The question on the table is, do they have a fire sale in the next 48 hours?
I don't think they have a fire sale. I think if Stephon Gilmore is healthy, and I say that because he missed this game, he tweaked his knee. If he's healthy, I think they trade him. I think he's gone. Because Bill, if you know anything about Belichick, he's not going to play sentimental favorites here. And They need draft capital. They need to shed salary. They already screwed with that contract a little bit. Makes you think this might be his last year there anyway. They're going nowhere. They're 2-5. I think anybody with value they can trade is toast. Like that. Edelman's not going anywhere. He's on IR. Joe Thuney's another one, the guard on the franchise tag, is an all-pro player. If they get any kind of value, I could see either one of them being traded. But Gilmore, to me, if you're the Pats and you get a high second rounder, late first rounder, I think you're probably looking at a second, but you got to do it. Like, they need picks. They need to rebuild this team. This team is going nowhere. They have no offense. Zero.
Yeah, it's you had to have today. You absolutely had to have it. They didn't get it. It's got to be a crusher for Cam too. You're at
Can
least
we stick a fork in him, by the way.
I guess
it's over.
I mean, you at bare minimum we're going overtime, and it looked like they were going to win the damn football game.
That's it.
And then right, give it away. So I don't know what Bill Belichick's thinking right now. I haven't talked to Bill. Me and him are not on the wavelength. But I would think that he's probably open to everything. I don't think he lives a delusional lifestyle right now. So let's stay in that division though and talk about the Dolphins and Tua. Miami today improves to 4-3, which is impressive. And the Rams played well last week, by the way. They kicked the crap out of the Bears, but you know, travel cross country, whatever you want to say, 28-17 Dolphins. Tua, I don't know how much you got to see him of that game for him. How much did you see?
A little bit. I'll go back and watch it here in the next couple of days. I did not watch a lot of it live.
Because, I mean, I've watched like the first, you know, the Tua highlight reel. He looks okay. I mean,
that's generous.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't, he certainly doesn't jump off the page like this is the guy. That's from what I'm seeing.
It's one game. Let's not go nuts. But he was, I mean, let's call it what it is, too. Let's not BS it. He wasn't good. He was terrible. He went 12 of 22 for 93 yards, 4.2 yards an attempt, and a touchdown. They never had a drive over 33 yards. He was not good.
How the hell did they win the game?
They won the game because they had a fumble return for a touchdown and a special team score for a touchdown. They were atrocious. They were outgained 471 to 145.
He had a lot of drops here, Verram. I'm literally watching the highlights as we're talking. I'm seeing bad, just terrible receiver play here.
I mean, the Rams had 31 first downs to 8. Outgained them 471 to 145, but the Rams had 4 turnovers. Like, that crap will get you killed. And if you go back and look, so the Rams were up 7-0. They throw a pick. That's when the Dolphins score on the 33-yard drive. They score a touchdown, 6-play drive. Then the Rams fumble the ball, gets run back for a touchdown. Then they punt. It gets brought back for a touchdown. So before Tua goes from being 7-7 on the field to 21-7, okay? And then the Rams fumble at their own 31. The ball gets brought back to the Rams' one-yard line, and the Myles Gaskin one-yard run gives the Dolphins their last touches. So essentially, 3 defensive scores or special team scores in the game, and that's where we are. But Tua was not good. Now, one game, we'll see, but he did not play well.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, you know, the Dolphins are in the playoff chase here.
Yes, absolutely.
So, I mean, I get it. You want to develop Tua, but there's no way he's as good as Fitzpatrick right now.
No chance. Which makes you think, you got to think of the rest of that locker room.
Right.
Because those guys are playing to try to get to the playoffs, they're trying to win, and they get it with Tua. But, like, you're going to have some pissed off guys in that room. If they're playing hard and they're losing these games because Tua's out here throwing for 90 yards, like, that's real in the NFL. These careers are short. They're going to be pissed. So the Dolphins have to be careful about that.
Yeah, and most of these throws are just, I mean, dink dunk city here. There's not a whole lot going on. All right, let's go on to the Saints. You're asking if they're a contender in the NFC. They certainly weren't impressive today, but they got it done against a Bears team that was just brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Yeah. We talked a lot already about this game. I I will be brief. I think I have to say yes because they're 5-2 and they've got a lot of really good players on this team, some great players on this team. And they haven't had Sanders and Thomas for a while, Thomas since week one. But if this team doesn't massively improve, they're going nowhere. They're not good defensively. And offensively, they're very limited. Now, again, I want to see them with Sanders and Thomas. But to me, they are distinctly the fourth team in the NFC right now at best.
Well, who's your number one team in the NFC right now?
Tampa.
I mean, it makes sense, but to me, the NFC is wide open. Like, literally anything can happen. However, I did not come out of watching the game today thinking, oh, my God, the Saints are overpowering. Like, the Bears should have picked off Breeze 5 times.
He was not good.
I mean, they had so many opportunities that it didn't happen. So New Orleans ain't winning the Super Bowl. I'll just say that. So, sure, playoff team, but a contender to take the whole damn thing, no. But at the same time, like, I don't know who you fly up right now in the NFC. Yeah, I guess you could say Tampa, but...
Tampa, Seattle, to me, are the top 2 teams.
Yeah, no, it's fair. It's fair. But, again, Seattle's defense, and...
Yeah, they're horrible.
I mean, is Tampa really... I don't know. I feel like I need to see more. Maybe I should just jump in here and be a believer, but they're certainly the most well-balanced team. There's no doubt about that. But I'd still... throw out that, like, literally anything's possible in the NFC. All right, in or out, Chargers have a voodoo curse in them. How the hell do you make Drew Lock look like Joe Montana in his prime as the Broncos come back with 21 in the fourth to beat the Chargers 31-30? Ouch.
Dude, I don't know what's going on. Like, the Chargers just suck. They have more talent than any bad team I've ever seen, and they can't win a game. They are the AFC's equivalent of the Falcons. They're up 24-3 in the third quarter. Lindsey then rips off a 55-yard touchdown run with 6 minutes left, 24-10. Chargers punt the ball. Broncos throw a pick. Not to be outdone. Okay, in the red zone, Herbert then throws a pick for a touchback. Denver takes the ball, mind you. Okay, now we're in the fourth quarter. 9 plays, 80 yards, touchdown, capped off a 9-yard touchdown pass by Locke, who, by the way, is not a good quarterback. Okay, is just not good. And is somehow, like, the Chargers can't stop him. But then the Chargers go down, get a field goal with 8 minutes left. You're like, all right, 27-17. Like, here we go. Game's just about to be over. Nope. Here comes a 2-play, 75-yard touchdown drive. Again, to a guy, 40-yard touchdown pass, Deshaun Hamilton. What? 27-24. But then the Chargers put together a 12-play, 60-yard drive, take off 5 minutes, 30-24. You're like, okay, this game's in the bag. Nope. Because on 4th-and-4 from the Chargers' 18-yard line, Locke just heaves it to the end zone, desperation, 7 seconds left, pass interference. Untimed down on the 1, KJ Hamler with the touchdown, 31-30 ball game. Like, how do you do this? It's impossible. The Chargers. Do you know that the last 6 times, and I saw this on Twitter, I don't remember who tweeted, the last 6 times they've led by 16 points, they've lost every game.
It's impressive.
So put me in for the curse.
There's something going on, and I believe in curses when you leave cities that deserve football teams and go to ones that don't. So there you go.
All kidding aside, real quick, Anthony Lynn, this sit for him this year?
I don't know. He's pretty well respected.
He is, and well liked.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not sure, but I guess it's absolutely on the table when you have this many.
It has to be, doesn't it? I mean, if you can't win these games, I don't know Anthony Lynn at all. I've heard great things about him. I met him once, and he was very nice, very pleasant. But if you can't hold on to 16-point leads, that's kind of it, isn't it?
It's a bad one. You're always staring at the coach in that scenario. So
especially when it's a thing that happens all the time.
Yep.
Once, okay, weird things happen. 6 times? 6 times? It's
not wrong. Good. So let's go on to the Cleveland Browns.
Let's do it.
In or out, the Browns are going to be really miss Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, today was Baker going 12 of 25. They scored 6 points, lost to the Raiders after a great win last week, by the way, albeit against the Bengals. But it feels like they're going to miss him. Jarvis Landry led the Browns in receiving today with 4 catches of 52 yards.
So I'm in on this. I'm not so much even pointing at this game. The weather was atrocious. The wind was crazy off the lake in Cleveland. There was hail at some points. But like that all said, yeah, they're going to miss him because now teams aren't as worried about having to put two high safeties. They can double Landry. They can drop an extra defender in the box. They can take away the run more. That's going to force Mayfield to have to throw on passing downs. Like that's definitely going to hurt. I don't think there's any way around that. And, man, I just look at them, and it's just every time I'm in on Cleveland, I watch a game like today, and they score 6 freaking points. Like, I don't give a you-know-what about the weather in that regard. You play in Cleveland. You better be able to score some points when the weather's not great. They scored 6 points against a Raiders team that can't stop anybody. And that's – you know what? Maybe Cleveland ends up making the playoffs. I'm not saying they won't. Maybe they do. That's the kind of game that comes back to bite you in the ass in December. You're at home. If you beat the Raiders, you go up 2.5 games on the Raiders in the wild card race. And you have the breaker. That's a huge, huge game. Now you're tied in the loss column, and they have the breaker. Like, that stuff... That stuff really, really matters. And I just, you know, they don't have Odell. And in the last game, obviously, he got hurt really early. And Baker throws 5 touchdowns. And everybody's like, well, now they're – no, they're not. It's stupid. Like, look, Beckham, I'm a guy who's kind of cold on Beckham sometimes. I think he does too much crap, and it causes some weirdness. I think he's focused on some of the wrong things. That said, he's a great player. Not having him is not going to help. So, yeah, I'm in. It's going to be a major problem for Cleveland.
I mean, the field was not in bad shape today.
No, it was more about the wind and the some of the sleet and whatnot.
Okay.
But the field conditions in terms of like on their feet, yeah, it was fine.
Yeah. I mean, and there was some crazy, crazy field goal tries with the wind just taking it. But so I guess that's all fair. But I mean, come on, Baker. You can't That's just a game the Browns should have had. Anyway, all right, moving on to Jimmy Garoppolo. And the in or out is he isn't the answer for San Francisco. I'll tell you, Joe Montana teed him up in such a way that I will always say that Jimmy Garoppolo is out from now on. I mean, Montana just blistered him when I talked to him last week. So
would you like to share that with the crowd here?
Well, I just said, you know, I asked him a very bland question. Hey, does, you know, Jimmy need to be a little bit better for the Niners to get to where they want to go this year? I mean, it wasn't like I was like, you think Garoppolo? And he was just like, yeah, the guy's just, you know, he's had a lot of chances. And just, you know, I mean, I forget exactly what he said, the direct quote, but I was just sitting there like kind of with my mouth agape, like, wow, you really don't think Garoppolo is any good. So, and today they put up 27, but, you know, in a shootout, he ain't going to be Jimmy Garoppolo. So,
far be it for me to disagree with my childhood hero. I'm very jealous of you, by the way. You got to interview Joe Montana. I love Joe Montana. I'm not afraid to admit, huge man crush. You have
next time he's always promoting something for him. Next time he comes around, he's all yours, pal.
That'd be amazing. Yeah. I will openly weep during the interview. Be very unprofessional. Look, I'm out on Garoppolo. I put this on here because he's not a bad quarterback, but there's just too many games where he's like a complete non-factor, right? The Niners in this game, they're missing guys. I get all that. You're 11 to 16 for 84 yards with a pick. Now, I get he got hurt and had to leave, and then Mullins comes in and, by the way, goes 18 to 25 for 238, and 2 touchdowns. Or just cleans house in the fourth quarter. All that came in the fourth quarter for Mullins. Like, it's just... I just look at Garoppolo, and I watched a lot of that game. I watched quite a bit of it, actually, before Seattle really put him away. Like, at no point were you like, yeah, he's going to make some plays in this game. Just zero. Like, no point at all did you think Garoppolo was going to win that game or even threaten to win it.
I mean, listen, he had a Super Bowl on his arm, and he missed the throw. He's never going to live it down, and I don't know how you could ever really have confidence that he's going to turn the corner and be a difference-making quarterback. It's just not him. I mean, I think that's it's not.
He's a guy.
Yeah. All right, last one. Tampa Bay will win by 20-plus points on Monday Night Football versus the Giants. I was on the record, so I can't stay off it. I picked the Giants as one of my upset to cover teams this week. So I have to say out. Where are you going on it?
Oh, in. Mike, they're gonna do things to the Giants that normally is on a paywall. Okay. That I expect that game to be 31-3. They're gonna blitz the daylights out of Daniel Jones. I won't even go too far into this. I am in. I think Tampa and Kansas City are the two best teams in the league by a margin. And I think Tampa Bay will show why on Monday Night Football.
All right. That is our Sunday night extravaganza. Thank you for putting it on the podcast. I'm guessing you're listening Monday morning or whenever you're listening, as week 8 of the NFL is just, it has been a thing today. The Bears put me through the ringer today, man. Anything going on in the Verderam life that you want to share?
I think like everybody here in America, ready for Tuesday.
Jesus.
I'm going to tell you right now. Okay, and I'm not. This isn't a political thing. So if you don't like my politics, and you follow me on Twitter, you know where I stand on this. I work till 1 o'clock, then I vote on Tuesday. Okay. I am not someone who is a drinker. I'm not. Never have been. I mean, college, I guess, to some degree, but it's certainly not a drinker when I'm just by myself. Never have been ever at any point in my life. I've probably this year had maybe a 6-pack worth of beers. So that's how much I drink very frequently. I am going to go out. I'm going to get a bottle of fine rum. I'm going to get a 2-liter of Coke. I'm going to get some limes. I'm going to sit in my office and I'm just going to start pouring. And I'm going to keep pouring until I'm out either of drink or of consciousness on Tuesday evening. I think that's how this is going to go. Because I can't take it. I just can't. And I know I'm going to wake up to like just a contested election and an absolute crap show. But at least on Tuesday night, I'm just going to put myself in a spot where I'm just not going to care no matter how it plays out.
Honestly, I got to think about this. Like, maybe I need to play tennis like all day on Tuesday. I mean, FanSided's been kind enough to give us a half day to go out and vote. I actually went and voted yesterday because I didn't want to deal with the Tuesday extravaganza. I mean, we know one thing for certain. Joe Biden is going to win the popular vote.
Oh, now, yeah, for sure.
He's going, and he might win it by 5 million votes.
Yes.
But we'll, and I don't want to, I guess nobody wants to hear anyone's politics, so I'll stay out of it. But it feels like it's going to be a day, man. It's unbelievable that it's finally here. Let's just say that.
I'll leave it at this because I don't even think this is a politics thing. This is just.
I don't even mind. I mean, listen, if you like Trump, we're not together. That's just the way it is.
Well, yeah. And you and I agree on this. But, you know, I'll say this. Here's how I picture Tuesday going, which is why I'm going to go out and get an entire bottle of rum. So here's
if you
how.
Don't drink, if you don't drink, this is going to end terribly for you.
This is
you,
not
going
to well.
No, you're gonna be puking. You have a son, you have a daughter. You have
she's
a wife.
Gonna be asleep. She's gonna be asleep. I won't crack the seal on the bottle until she's asleep. My wife, she's seen some things. She'll be all right. I'm gonna sit down and watch this. And here's my very brief synopsis of what I think is gonna happen. We're gonna sit down. We're obviously both Central Time, so 6 o'clock Central. Most of these shows come on. I'm gonna sit down, turn them on. I'm sure I'll be watching that today anyway. And you're going to immediately know, like, Florida, Georgia, Texas. Like, those are pretty much coming in fast and furious, North Carolina. If there's – it goes one of two ways. Either Biden just wins immediately. Like, it's very obvious he's going to win. And then everybody can kind of, okay, settle into this and how that's going to go. And then you're going to have a million lawsuits coming in the next 2 months. Or it's going to either appear or flat out that Trump is going to look like he's winning here. And Trump's going to come out and give a victory speech at like 7 o'clock at night, even though like 80 million votes haven't been counted, and it's just going to be unbelievable. You're going to have like half the news outlets trying to tell people that the race isn't over, and the other half are going to be basically just confirming that he won. It's going to be unbelievable. I don't know what to expect, which is why the bottle's coming into play.
Well, and I got to tell you, if it goes the Trump way, I don't know what's going to happen in Chicago. If there's going to be some upset people, and if it goes Biden's way, in some land, I would not want to be out about either. So I just hope that people keep a level head here and realize that as crazy as it is right now and as divided as the country is, it's not life or death, even though it feels like it, I think, to a lot of us. So let's try to have some level of decorum and be as professional as you can be. Hey, I guess is how I would put
it. I'll leave the podcast, and I think that's well said, on two notes. One, don't be stupid. I don't care who you're voting for, okay? And by the way, for the record,
if someone's going to be stupid, for the record, they're going to do it without.
No, for the record, though, like, look, I'll say this, because everyone who follows me on Twitter knows I'm voting for Biden. I'm not hiding that, okay? Everybody knows how I feel about Trump, but you know what? I am an independent. Everyone's always like, oh, you're liberal. Believe me, if you know me, and God knows Carm can attest to this, like, I am not someone who you would assign, like, oh, he's really, really outwardly liberal. Okay? I'm an independent. I just don't like liars, and I feel like that's what Trump. But my point is, look, two things. Do not go out and do something stupid. This election is not worth your life. It's not worth your job. Okay? It is not worth your freedom. Don't do anything idiotic, no matter who you support. Number two, and this is corny, but it's true. We are all Americans at the end of the day. Like, I may vehemently disagree with somebody on their politics. You may vehemently disagree with me. But if you're truly into the spirit of what it means to be an American, you'll defend my right to the death to disagree with you. And I will certainly defend yours. Just don't go out and do something that you're going to regret the rest of your life.
I just can't
get out there. And then however it plays out. And you accept that as an American, you move on.
All right, I just came up with what I'm doing on Tuesday, which is watching the entire Jordan rookie season, every game I can find, and that's what I'm going to do. Verram, good to be with you, brother. Hope everybody enjoyed Stacking the Box. We really, really, really appreciate it when you give a rating and write a comment. And, yes, enjoy your Tuesday. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Still be working it off.
There we go. We'll talk it, work it off, and we'll see where we're at. Have a great rest of your day, night, whenever you're listening. Thanks for checking out Stack in the Box.